Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm covering a few things to be aware of in the dating world, from trends to online profiles, and I take a few calls. Topics include what not to put on your dating profile to up your chances of getting a match, dropping hints about being in the mood that just aren't being well received, and of course, how to fix it, how to get your partner to focus less on their phone and more on you, and ways to just start talking dirty already. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out our podcast. We love when you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a review on iTunes. 5 stars is awesome. Also, check me out on SiriusXM Radio, Stars Channel 109. I'm there weekdays, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific, 8 to 10 East. It's been amazing, you guys. I love doing live radio 10 hours a week, helping you all with sex and relationships. If you want a free 30-day trial, visit sexwithemily.com/SXM. Or you can still call in 888-947-8277. As always, find us on all social media at Sex with Emily across the board. If you're not following us, you should be because we're starting to do giveaways again. Yay! So do that. And I hope you enjoy the show. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Phrases to avoid on internet dating bios. And I really wanted to get your opinions on these, Emily, because I feel like you're very good at crafting bios and like helping people with their profiles. Yeah. So like, let's go through some of these ones. This first one is, my kids are my number one priority / my world.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So if you're on, and this is even if you're not even on an app, but you're on a first date, I would think that someone that you're out with, they're going to understand if you're a parent that your kid's very important to you, that you love your child. But the problem by saying something like, my kids are my number one priority, I think it's important to let someone know that you're dating, that you have kids. You don't want to hide the kids till the fourth date. Like, you have kids. But what that message sends to someone is, you're never going to be important to me. Like, I'll never be enough for you. And I think that I understand kids are everything in your world. And, I do understand that, but it could just put someone off. And, you know, I think that people know the person that you're going to pick as a mom is going to be a good partner. And you don't need to lead with like, my kids are so important. It also says like, I have no time for anything else is what that says if you're writing that out. So I think let it be known that you're a mom. But by saying that, could be a turnoff. And not just like good guys could be turned off by that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more of a when they explicitly write that.
They do, right, and they do. I've seen that, and I've seen that. Oh. And I've seen it with guys.
Yeah.
Okay, this is interesting. So I've been on the dating apps. I've been on Bumble and those things. And when it's someone's like, my kids, my everything, I think I probably have those thoughts where I'm like, oh, yeah, well, then you're a full-time dad. You probably don't have space for a relationship, is what I think. Or there's no room for someone else, even though you're on an app. So I think that it's just your wording. You could say, like, love my kid, love being a parent. It's such a joy. There's so many other things you could say there, but there's a specific sentence here is what to avoid. And this was like, they probably looked at tons of dating profiles and found out what worked and what didn't. My kids are my number one priority. My kids are my world.
That, yeah.
You have no space. It's basically saying you're shut down.
Well, yeah. So I'm just saying that, like, when people write that out, I think people are like, oh, okay, like, this person's probably overly parenty.
Right.
Like, just
that's the other thing.
Yeah, like, they're just probably a very overprotective parent, maybe, that they're just very much, like checking up on their kid all the time. Like, that's what that signals to me.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's another way of it, too. Exactly. That person is just, kids are their world, and don't have space.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they're your world, but we should just assume
that. Of course
they're
your world, you guys. I'm not saying that kids aren't your world. I'm just saying, it might say that it's your everything and there's no more space for something else to come in. Okay. Yeah.
This next one, I am not looking for fun.
Okay, no one wants to hear that. And that is used frequently. I mean, unless you say, I'm not looking for fun, fun finds me. You could end it that way now. But I'm not, right? That would be twist on that. Yeah. That was how you could add, if you're saying, I'm not looking for fun. And I understand the reason why women might write this is because they, you know, have, you know, a bad experience and they start like falling for someone. It's just about sex. Like, I think what women are trying to say here is, I'm not looking for something casual. I'm not looking for just a fling. I'm not looking for a roll in the hay. Do people say that anymore?
A roll in the hay.
I feel like my mom would say that. Roll in the hay.
I love that.
Heavy petting. Another thing my mom would say.
Oh, I hate that term so
my mom's
much.
Like, you know, heavy petting. We were doing heavy petting. I'm like, I don't want to know. But so, you know, I get it. So like, I feel... What does that mean? Like, they're petting. It's like a dog, like heavy petting.
It just sounds like someone that doesn't know how to pet a dog.
Exactly. That is the problem. So, right, exactly. Don't do it too heavy. And so I think, yeah, you guys, like, I'm not looking for fun just says that you know, you could say, I'm looking for, what you should say as a result is, I'm looking for a relationship.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a committed relationship rather than saying, I'm not just looking for fun, which apparently a lot of women write that. We get it that you think it, guys are going to interpret it, or whoever is going to interpret it, as like, you're not just looking for sex. But no, they're just going to think you are not a good time.
And probably uptight.
Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for fun. I just want to sit around and what isn't fun? Read. Yeah.
Okay, this next one, don't send me dick pics.
Okay, you guys. There's so many, this is so loaded in so many ways. I mean, first of all, don't send me dick pics sounds like, in a way, by saying that, sounds like, it almost is like you've gotten so many dick pics that you've had to say it. It's sort of upsetting and startling. But also, I feel if you say, don't send me a dick pic, and then there was a guy who was like, damn it, I was just about to text this to you, and he doesn't. I mean, do you want that? There's not a guy going, oh my God, I was just about to send it, so I didn't. I just think that the guys you're going to date are probably not going to be the ones sending you dick pics anyway, right? Like,
So basically, in a way, so I bet these people are saying this to try to weed out the weirdos, but in a sense they're kind of stopping themselves from weeding out the weirdos,
right?
Because then they just won't send the dick pic, but then you're gonna find out later that they're weird somehow.
Right, exactly. So why not just say, how many dick pics do you really get as a woman? I mean, I know we used to get them a lot on Facebook, but on our Facebook page. But what I'm saying is, yeah, the type of guy that's gonna read that and say, oh God, better not do it now, is not the guy that you're gonna date anyway. Mm-hmm. You're gonna know that if you get a dick pic, and I just don't think they're that rampant. And it also, I think when you do a lot of don'ts or I hates or I don't like or negative things in your bio, like I hate this and I hate that, or people annoy me, or I just think it's much better to tell a story in your bio, in your dating profile, like show, don't tell. So you could talk about something that you do like I love dicks. No, I mean, flip it on its head.
Some people do write that.
They do. I like sex, but don't send me dick pics. It just, you know, I think that they just think whatever we are. I think that's clear, right? Don't write, don't send me dick pics. The other thing, what else did I hear? This is from a friend of mine. He dates all the time, and he's like, women who say, not looking for hookups.
Oh, not looking for hookups.
So that is also something that I think doesn't really work anymore, because I think that people are doing that like on Tinder and all the apps because people believe that it's a hookup app. And I'm telling you guys, dating is a hookup app. Like, life is a hookup. If you decide to hook up with someone, you have that decision. But it's not like if you were going to go on a date with someone that they are going to pressure you, they're assuming that you're going to have sex with them. So I think rather you could say, again, a great thing to say is, I'm not into hookups, is I'm looking for a relationship.
Yeah, I love that you just said that life is a hookup app.
It is. Yeah. Life is a hookup app. It is. Like, you can hook up anywhere. It's not like you get to decide. Are you hooking up all the time? Then you're that person.
You constantly blow my mind.
Jamie.
No, like, just like these little random things, and they're so like simple, but it's just like,
life is a hookup app. Okay. You guys can all have sex whenever you want. Okay.
Let's do this one last one. Just ask / I'll fill this in later.
Okay. So this is what means that you might be a little bit lazy and you can't think of anything else clever to write. And so I think the problem with that is that someone who messages you is only going on the fact they find you pretty. They find you physically attractive. And I don't think that that's what women want. In fact, there have been studies. We've done all these studies about dating apps. What women want to hear is, in their first message, they don't want to hear that you find them attractive. They already know that. You probably selected them, not necessarily because of their bio, because you find them attractive. We want to hear something about our personality. We want to hear something about you that you think that we, and I know that you haven't met them yet, but if you could say, like, you sound really interesting, or I love that you go skydiving, you sound really fun. That's what women want to hear. Conversely, men do want to hear about their looks, says studies in an app. They want you to be like, you look really hot, which is funny because I would never do that because I know I don't want that because I already know you find me attractive. But guys want to hear it. Isn't that a twist? How's that for a twist?
Do you think that that's why guys, not always, mostly because they suck, but some guys like little catcall? Because they're like, they're secretly wishing that women would be like, hey, you're hot.
You know what? Perhaps it's some kind of repressed desire for them to be catcalled. I don't know, for them to be told they're hot. I've never thought about it that way. I just think, I don't even understand catcalling. Like, when did that work? Like, do they just think I'm going to catcall all day? And then like one person's going to like say like, oh, wow, you like my ass? Tell me more. Could be. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. No, those are really good, though. So hopefully people don't put those in their bios anymore.
Don't put that in your bio if you're dating or even if you're on a date. Yeah.
Okay. And let's do this last one here. Dating trends to be aware of in 2019. One, because like there's just all these trends, I guess, that like who's coming up with these? But let's go over this. Okay. Orbiting. So this one is a dater who distanced themselves from you, but still somehow remains in the background.
Okay, they're just like orbiting you. I guess, okay, so this is explained as someone that it ends suddenly or things were left unclear, which happens a lot now. You're kind of blurred. But this is the opposite of ghosting, which ghosting, I think most people know. Ghosting is when you date someone and it seems like it's going well. Maybe you go on 2 to 3 dates and then poof, they're gone. So instead of them being totally gone, they like all of your Instagram posts. They might text you every few weeks. So you know they're still around. So then you still think you can't rid of them. You can't cut them. Because you're like, well, they keep coming back. So
I guess that's what orbiting.
They're just orbiting.
You think that's kind of like the backup plan? Like the backup, the backup person.
Yeah, I think that a lot of us do that. We like want to have options. Yeah, that's what it is. And so I think, and I also think for ego, it can feel good to be orbited. If someone's orbiting around, you're like, oh, at least I have options too. But we're just putting a name to these things, and then you get to decide if you want them in your life or not.
Okay, this next one is pocketing.
Okay.
So when the person you're dating appears to be keeping you on the back burner and is in no hurry to seriously commit to you.
Is this what we used to call like a commitment phobe?
Ah, that's me.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's me.
Pocketing is on the rise, they say. You don't want to be stuffed into a pocket by someone you really thought that a relationship was happening. So how do you know if you're being pocketed? You're probably not being introduced to their friends, their family. There's nothing discussed about future planning. So open your eyes. You're probably been pocketed. So they also only want to hang out if their schedules are clear. So make sure you're with someone who's excited to show you off. And let me tell you, you could tell this in the first few months.
Yeah, I think so.
You can tell everything. My mom says the issues you have in the third date, you will have forever. Wow. Right?
No, that's
think about that one. Okay? So, everyone take that and say what you think about that. All right.
Okay, and let's just do this last one. Okay. This is very, very interesting. Prowling. A prowler is someone who ghosts you, then reappears on the scene when it suits them.
Oh. Okay. So, it's like they ghosted you. You were kind of bummed. You were devastated. You're like, I thought it was going really well. And then like 3 months later, they're like, hey, what's up? And they come back. And so they're prowling. How? I guess it's different than orbiting because they're not always there. I feel like a lot of people do circle back. Mm-hmm. So it comes full circle. Yeah, if you didn't care anymore. That's the annoying thing about the prowlers is that it's when you finally forgot about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back. I don't know. I would say don't entertain it, especially if you're in a relationship with someone. But who knows? Maybe you want to because you really like them. Maybe something happened to them. But now you have a name for these people that disappeared and then they come back. But I think that can be dangerous. I think, that, again, when people show you who they are, believe them. If they didn't have the words to say, this isn't working for me now, or I got into another relationship or whatever, and then they just pop back like the annoying thing about this is they just pop back like nothing happened. Like, hey, how you been?
Right?
Wasn't our last date 6 months ago when I didn't hear from you?
And is like, I mean, I'm very much a person that likes to put people on the spot. So I'll be like,
you would, Jamie.
No, I do. I'm very much like, so like, where did you go? And then like, I know that I can already tell like these kind of people, they're just like, oh, what do you mean? Like I was busy, or like, oh, yeah, no, like we hung out not that long ago. It's like, it was literally 6 months ago.
Right. Exactly. So I think they can be a hassle. So. And hurt. So let's just avoid the parlors. Okay. Should we there you go, guys. A little bit of sex in the news. That's what's happening in the world, just so you know. You know, it's not on CNN, but it's here on SWE. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, your calls.
All right, so we have Crystal. She's 36 in Oregon, and she wants to know how to get sex going with her husband.
All right. Hey, Crystal. Let's get it going.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay, so I've been married 10 years, and it's kind of always been like this, but it's kind of like a just roll over and we do it.
Mm.
So I know I've been listening to your show for a while, and I know about like the massaging and stuff. He doesn't like massages, but it's always kind of, and so we have a healthy sex life, but I tend to not want to have sex because there's nothing to get it going. It's just roll over and we do it and we go to sleep.
Right. Okay.
So it's like, how can, I mean, I know there's ways, I guess I could get it going, but it's how can we, it's, what's the ways to get it going that night without just rolling over?
Right. No, I get you. Well, also another way is outside the bedroom. It's so, you know, can you have sex outside, like in on the couch,
well,
in the kitchen? You have kids.
Five kids.
Oh my God, five kids. Okay, so don't do that. Although I do have a friend who has four kids, and she had sex in the pantry last week in her kitchen. So until they have a walk-in pantry, and she's like, "We just had sex in the pantry." I'm like, "Good for you!" Like my friends are always texting me with these things. I'm like, "Yes, you did it." Okay, so you have to stay in the bedroom. I understand this. Well, how about like I don't know if you heard a little early in the show, the shower. Like shower sex is so hot. If you guys ever shower before bed, so then you're like clean.
Yeah,
in front of the mirror.
He doesn't like to take showers together because he doesn't want to wait his turn.
Okay, how about in a mirror? I'm using a mirror. I know, I get it. It sounds like you're doing a lot of yes butting here. Like yes but, no but, it's not gonna work. So like, listen. So I think you just gotta like take it outside. Take it out. You know, a mirror. Mirror sex is really hot. Watching some porn together before you go to bed. Like I love having sex in front of a mirror. It's just a different thing. Like you're watching each other. It's really hot. Having some. You said he doesn't like being touched. So I'm just thinking, do you like making out with him? Like, is that something that you're kind of missing?
Yeah, but I guess it came to like a rut type thing. Because we start making out and then it's oral. And that's an every time thing, which is fine, but it's like the same thing. And that's
the same thing.
So we make out. I get it. Out, he knows oral's coming. So.
Right. He comes, he goes down to you, then he sticks it in, then you have orgasms, you roll over, you go to sleep. So I think, like, what about, like, what is it that you, so tell me when you picture, this is what I got to ask you, Crystal. When you're thinking about it being different, what comes to your mind? Like, what do you like? Or what's, like, do you like a lot of hot making out? Do you wish you played with your breasts more? Like, he could put a nipple clamp on. Like, he could use nipple clamps. Like, here's the thing. You guys are on a routine. And so he goes down, you make out. He goes down, you have sex, you roll over. But there's, I'm always talking about exploring other erogenous zones. So, like, what if he played with your nipples? Like, what if he, you kissed his neck, played with his nipples? You know what I'm saying? Like, he rolls you over, plays with your butt, plays, you know, you guys get some toys. Do you have any toys?
Right. We do have toys, and we did that in the beginning, and now it's just, we don't. Yeah.
Bring back some toys. I mean, here, and also, I have something, I don't know if it's out yet, if I can mention this, but I have a subscription box coming out, but you could make it, it's like, couples can get this for each other as a holiday thing, and it's once every, so it's four times a year, each time their kids open it, but it's like a fun box that comes in the mail, and they'll be like, lube, and a new vibrator, and a blindfold, and just, or a little book. You know, you could get different things that will spice it up. Here's another idea. I have a book called Hot Sex. I know you have five kids, so I'm always like, lock this book up, but it's over 200 things you could try tonight, and it's got great pictures in it, and you open it up, and you could, it sounds like you just need different ideas because you can literally open it to any page and you're like, let's try this tonight. Like, it's just a new sex position. Using a sex wedge under you. Like, sometimes when we place another pillow on us, you know, underneath our butt, and you lift it up, lift up your pelvis, you can, you get different positions. And also, another thing is Creative Conceptions is a great company, and they have I'm giving you so many tips here. They have a lot of sex games that help facilitate fun things, like asking each other questions or different, you know, oral sex things. They have a game called Monogamy. It's kind of like Monopoly. So, like, I just think you guys need some. Because for me, I know what turns me on is when I have really intimate, deep conversations, too, with my partner, and we get closer. So maybe there's like a sex game where you ask each other questions, and that turns it on. You know, just one of these things. And then have him in on this with you. You know, say, babe, come on, enough with the rolling over. Let's do something fun. And then go online and order some things, or, you know, go to my website, check it out, and be like, what would be fun to you? And then you guys are engaging in something fun together, and then you're waiting for something to come in the mail, and that's exciting, and then you're trying it out. And then that will lead to more things. All right?
Cool. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Have a great night. Thanks, Crystal.
All right. We're going to fit in Scott right now. He is 45 from Ohio, and he wants to know how to get his wife to spend more time with him.
Oh, hey, Scott.
Yes.
Hi. Let me help you with this.
I cannot get my wife to understand that. When she comes home from work, she immediately goes into her telephone, her iPad, her Kindle, and it's nonstop until we go to bed. And then when we go to bed, she continues to carry that with her to the bedroom, and I can't seem to get across to her that that is an interruption.
Okay.
In our sex life.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. So it sounds to me like this is something that you need to talk to her about separately. Like, it sounds like you've probably brought it up a lot, and then she's getting frustrated, right? So I think the conversation that you have to have here is not when it's actually happening, but the next time you guys do have a night together, just the two of you, you could let her know how it makes you feel when she's always on the iPad, and that the time that you would like to have more quality time with her, and that maybe you guys could kind of spend some time without the, like, put it down, and then you guys could do some other things together. Like, there could, and I think it's really important for couples to have gadget-free time set aside, like a night without the phone. Like, I don't know, is she working? Is she shopping online? Like, is she communicating with friends? Do you know what she's doing?
It has gotten so bad that she will stop in the middle of us having sex and check her stuff on her phone or her iPad.
Yeah, this is not good, Scott. How long have you guys been together?
8 years.
8 years, okay. I'm wondering if something else is going on, maybe. This is just really, it's disrespectful. And you can let her know that it makes you feel not loved and that your quality time together is really important to you. Because, and let her know, like, and ask her what she thinks it's about. Like, ask questions. She's like, I just do it. Don't tell me what to do. And you can say, well, I won't, because, you know, she might get defensive because she's very attached to it. And you could just let her know that it's really important for your intimacy as a couple. Like, there's been all these studies now about couples. Like, we're so addicted that you actually need to say, we are going to have a night together without the phone. You know, we're going to spend 3 hours without it. So I think keep talking to her about it, but from a place of feeling, not of criticizing her. Okay, Scott, we got to go, but thank you so much for calling. Let me know how it goes. I appreciate your call.
Okay, let's take an email.
All right.
All right. So this is Tressa. Ooh, I like that name. Tressa, 51 in Tennessee. Hi, Emily. I'm 51 and married to the man of my dreams. I didn't even know sex could be fun until I met him. Aw, that's nice. He always makes sure that I'm satisfied, and he says that our sex life is great for him too, but I'd like to make it better for him. I know he wants me to dirty talk to him, but every time he says talk to me during sex, my tongue swells 15 sizes and I completely freeze up. How can I learn to dirty talk without feeling like an idiot?
Okay. Tressa, this is a great question because it's so common. So many of us have been in this situation where we're like, what do I do? What do I say? What's dirty talk? Like, do I have to watch porn and then mimic what they're saying? You know, you're not alone at all. So this is, you don't have to sound like a porn star. You don't have to do anything different than just be you. So my biggest tips for like just beginner dirty talk is to just describe something that's like happening in the moment. So like, God, you feel so good. Like, I just want to, like, you know, grab your ass, or it feels so amazing when you're inside me, or you know how to fill that in. Or something that happened in the past. Like, I keep thinking about that time we had, you know, hot sex, something, or something in the future, something that you want to happen. So those are very specific things with details for the past, present, and future that can kind of help you describe when you describe it. And you definitely want to have your dirty talk voice. So it's a little bit lower, a little bit slower. And it's great to do it practice. So I think it's fun in the shower. Like, and you're in the shower, like, start talking dirty. Like, what would you, you know, you've been with this guy. He's the man of your dreams, right? And you're having such fun sex with him. And it's amazing sex. So think about the things that you guys have done that have felt amazing to you. Like, I'm sure there's been one thing where you're like, wow, that time he went down on me when we were in the Bahamas for an hour and then I had an orgasm watching the sun. Like, think about those things, the way he touches you. Like, how does it feel when his hands are on your neck? Things like that. And then describe them. And that's really what dirty talk is. You know, how he, and let him know how good it makes you feel, how good he makes you feel. And, you know, Jamie's got a good dirty talk story like this too. Doesn't this, this reminds me of, didn't you have the guy, oh, you had a guy say this to you. He was like, talk dirty to me. You're like, yeah. Oh my God, I have no idea what to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was like, because it's hard in the moment. Like, if you're inside me and you're trying to ask me to do something in a performative way, like, and you're putting me on the spot, like, I'm just going to freeze up because I'm like, this isn't my idea.
Right.
You know, and it's just because then I'm like, oh, crap, because then I'm like, I'm going to say something. And then when I actually did try to say something, because I'm not going to laugh at you because that's what my worry was. Right. And then I said something and he kind of laughed at me and I was like, this is exactly why I didn't
we don't do that,
like, right. I didn't want to say anything, you know.
Yeah, so a good point for Tressa then too is that he should talk dirty to you. Like, what does he want? He could start the conversation, yeah, as well, and then you can answer back with some of the things that you've practiced, or look in the mirror and practice, or in the shower, and then just get that voice down. And know, you guys, sex can be funny and weird and messy and dirty and imperfect, and that's the beauty of it. So no one's going to be perfect at anything sexual the first time, second time, 10th time we try to do it. That's part of the fun.
I think that's like a really good point, because even when that happened to me, I'm like, you're not saying anything. You're not talking dirty. So why do I have to lead this when it's your idea?
Exactly.
Give me an example.
Right. And that is also a good point. Like, remember, you guys, you're in a relationship, and that means you guys are relating together. You both have to find solutions. It's not only up to one of you. So when you work on it together and it's your own project to make your sex life more interesting, more frequent, hotter, sexier, you know, that's, you do it together. Mm-hmm. Teamwork. Okay, thanks everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Samantha, Julia, intern Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.